Blog Talk Radio.
Talk clowns are caster than just fake talkers. Show 'em what it really means to be a fake walker.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mental of God Empowerment Program.
When I stand before God and he asks me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say?
Jesus,
that it was my job.
Draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Our God. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, people of God. Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, amen, the Lazarus Minister Faith Walker, amen. Glad to make your acquaintance once again this evening, amen. I trust that you had a blessful day, amen, and God is just doing a lot of things in this season, amen. If you're going through hell, amen, keep going, amen, because believe me, there's an anointing waiting for you on the other side. Tonight, amen, before we bring her forth, amen, before the announcements, amen, we got the Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall coming up, amen, just shortly, amen, after prayer and announcements, amen. Wonderful woman of God I had the pleasure of meeting in person, amen. And so we thank God for this woman of God joining us, amen. But first we're going to go into a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, to have us here, Lord God, gathered in your name, Lord God. We ask that this broadcast bring glory to your name, Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let your people be empowered tonight, Lord God, for it's not about us, Lord God, for it's about you, Lord God, and the work that you're doing in the earth realm, God. And so, Lord God, we just ask, Lord God, that people, Lord God, be empowered, that they be taught, Lord God. Let the words that we speak, Lord God, even in the book of Titus, be sound doctrine, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, people, that the people may learn line upon line, precept upon precept, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, as we go into the prophetic. So we ask that you anoint us both, Lord God, anoint the listeners' ears, Lord God, circumcise them to the truth, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Allow your angels to go forth, Lord God, establish everything in the realm, Lord God, on every dimension, Lord God, bring everything in perfect alignment in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And amen. As we go into our scripture reading, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ on tonight, amen. Amen. This ain't planned, amen, as far as the scripture reading. We usually just, amen, shoot straight from the hip, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look like we landed on here. Amen. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. And to another faith, by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, all are members of that one body, being many are one, and so also is Christ. I've just finished reading 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 12, 1 through 12. Blessed are the hearers and the doers of God's holy word. Amen. Now you are tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. For those of you who are gathered on blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, the number is 347-945-5416. For those of you who are listening online, amen, you can definitely chime in at any given time, amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need your pencils and your pens and your notebooks on tonight. So while I'm having these announcements, make sure you go get those and get those handy right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night, we had the Alabama Spirituals on last night. We had a wonderful time with these men of God. You can go back in the archive, listen to previews of their project, amen, Worthy Is He. Amen, the Alabama Spirituals, the legendary gospel group, rhythm and gospel award-winning group, amen. It was on the Kingdom Voices broadcast on last night. Also next week on this upcoming episode of the Kingdom Voices this Sunday will be Deacon Brown, amen, gospel artist out of Florida. And then following Monday, we will have, amen, the Apostles Timothy, Roberta Cartwright of Chain Breakers International, ATL, Georgia, all the Lords will be in the building. We will have the Apostolic Mantle on demonstration next Monday, so make sure you govern yourselves accordingly. This couple is walking in the oneness of apostolic, and only person who can ask them the hard-hitting questions, amen, is myself, the Lazarus, amen, here on EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. So we're going to ask them the hard-hitting questions about the Apostolic Mantle, amen. But now, further ado, amen. I'm bringing my mom on, amen. I call her my mom, amen. I blessed this woman of God, met her in person, amen. Her and her husband's definitely been a blessing to me, amen, to EMG, amen. They've been on here several times, amen, amen. If you see her, you see her husband. That's just the way they roll, amen. I bless God for them, amen. They've been with us from the very beginning, amen, from then till now, till from a little nothing to a little something. So I thank God for them, amen. 20,000 listeners later, she's still here, amen. I think this is her third or fourth time, amen. But I'm talking about Providence Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall, the founder of I Speak Life Ministries. She's the author of Successful Marriage, God's Way, amen. She's the mother of men, amen. She has a Sarah's anointing to birth out kings, amen, and to birth out men of nations and women of nations, amen. She's also called a shofar, as God has revealed it to me, who's making a sound in the earth realm, amen, that will cause a shift in the earth, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'll bring forth none other than Prophetess Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall.
Amen. God bless you. I'm excited to be on here tonight.
Amen, Doc. I know you're a busy woman of God, amen, and just doing a lot of things, amen, in ministry and just doing a lot of things in this season. For those of who don't know about your ministry and who you are, just briefly give them a concise amen about who you are before we get to the matter at hand.
Well, the mantle on my life is one to speak life, and so I'm called to every aspect of life because life is what we need. So I'm called to men, women, boys, and girls. God has allowed me to operate at every level of ministry, I mean, from cleaning to the pulpit. I mean, I've been from the bottom to the top and back to the bottom again because I need my bottom moments to stay humble. So I'm thankful that he keeps me in a place of humility and serving. I've served, I've been served, but like Jesus said, if I want to be great, then I'll be a servant. And so I call myself a servant prophet. If I must say so myself, I'm going to serve the King.
Amen. I guess I think that's a round of applause right there. Amen. Listen, and shout out to Bishop Harold Rollinson and Prophetess Dewan, amen, Holmes Rollinson, amen. Also, men and women of God, amen. Definitely shout out to them and all the prophets down there at the worship place. We're going to be talking about the prophetic tonight, amen. And we have a true prophet in the building, amen. And the first question we're just going to ask, we're going to dive right into it. Why is prophecy the lowest level of the prophetic, amen, for a prophet? Because many attribute... many will attribute the prophecy to all a prophet does, but we know that a prophet does more than a prophetess.
Well, I believe that we've lost the art of true prophecy because the prophetic is repeating what God has said, and there's never anything low or anything minute about that. That is a maximized principle, if I can put it that way. The thing is that we have gotten so many people that are prophesying out of their own spirit and out of their own mind that they have watered down the power that that is associated with the true prophetic. Because when the prophets came in the Old Testament and the prophets said, thus saith the Lord God, that is what happened. So, you know, I think we have watered it down and we've allowed the false prophets and we've allowed the enemy to infiltrate the camp. And so people are looking at all prophets sideways, but the true prophets come with the power. They come with the word that is confirmed already with an amen in heaven. And you see the result of the word coming to pass in your life when you get in the presence of a true prophet.
Hallelujah. I think that is so key, what you're saying, prophetess, amen, and especially in this hour, it seems like, why does it seem like a lot of the prophets, amen, this is just shooting straight from the head, why does it seem like a lot of prophets are loved? When we examine the scriptures, we don't see too many prophets that are actually loved. Even David had his haters, come on now, he had his haters, amen. Why do we seem like there's so much feel-good word going on, and so much chaos going on in the earth, amen, there's so much things going wrong, amen, but it seems like every prophet got something right to say.
I really do believe with everything in me that people are claiming the office of the prophet when they are really just operating in the gift of prophecy. There's a totally big difference between the two, and that is why you see, because the gift of prophecy comes to encourage, to edify, to build up, you know, but when you walk in the office of a prophet, you bring correction, you do it in love, nobody should be. The thing that I like about the true prophets of God is we cut and heal at the same time. As soon as we're cutting those areas, the healing balm is being released at the same time so that you can be cut and made whole in the same moment. That's the power of the true prophet, but I believe that's why you're hearing so much of the feel-good is because you're having people who are operating in the gift of prophecy claiming the office of a prophet. So that's, I believe that'll help us a little bit if we can kind of do a sifting, S-I-F-T-I-N-G, a sifting, then we will see the true shifting, S-H-I-F-T-I-N-G, of the true prophets come forth.
My Lord, my Lord. He says something key, amen, the true prophets coming forth, amen. So why does it seem like, how vital, as we shift, how vital is the prophetic office to the church?
I mean, God doesn't, when God releases something, when Jesus said he's giving gifts to the church, when he said he is releasing the prophet, he could have deleted the prophet out of the fivefold. He's God. But he left the prophet in the fivefold when he released it, because prophets are from a prophet, if I believe. Prophets are also mentioned in the Old Testament, but prophets are just all the way through the Bible. But here it is that prophets are still relevant, because I believe that God knows and knew then and knows now that there's going to always need to be a person, a prophet, that can hear clear from heaven and bring forth and speak forth the oracles of God without fear or without intimidation and release the word of God the way that God has given it to us to release. So it's very vital. It's very important. God knew what he was doing. And the fact that people are flocking to it lets me know that it's, that what they're flocking to is a facade, because the true prophet has so many oftentimes said, will you take this gift back? Can you make me something else? Can I just be a regular believer? They run to it. They flock to it. But those who see the glory in it but don't see the story behind it, they're running to it. And that's why you're seeing the sifting, and that's why you're seeing those prophetic words not coming to pass, because they are operating in an office that they were never ordained or favored or called to operate in.
My Lord, you know, in that same chapter that we opened up, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 28 further down, the Bible declares, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, divines of their tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all miracles. We know what the book says. So if God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, then isn't it true that the apostolic and the prophetic are two different dimensions? Are all they the same? Does it work like Dr. Yaquanda? You can have an apostolic and a prophetic, but you're one person. But the Bible declares that he said some in the church, apostles and prophets. What is going on right now concerning the apostolic and the prophetic? And some, and I'll just piggyback this, what is it that a lot of apostles are saying they're prophets? But you know, a lot. And these are the questions that I get, and we got listeners on here now that have these questions, because they're hearing apostles calling themselves prophets, and prophets being calling themselves apostles, and they said, "Well, what's going on?" The Bible says this. This scripture, explain this to me. And as leaders, we having to explain this to congregations. So, what is going on?
I believe because I have witnessed people who operate in the full fivefold, that they operate in the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastoral. I've seen them effectively operate in all five of the gifts. Lets me know that according to the Bible, in that same chapter in verse 12, it says, "Well, all of these work is that one and self-same spirit divided to every man separately as he will." As even though he's talking about the spiritual gift, he's also, I believe that also includes the fivefold ministry gift, because it's a gift and it's given from the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit will give the church what they need. And if he has to give one more, because that person will be accepted more, that person will be able to operate more, so be it. But understanding this, every gift that has been given was given before the foundation of the world was laid. Nobody got a ministry gift when they got saved. That ministry gift was already in you before you got saved. But you connected to God, the Savior, and it was activated in you. And so there are opportunities where, I mean, there are instances where people do operate in more than one of the gifts. Now, I mean, we do see an abuse of it. We do. We see people flip-flopping between, I'm a apostle today, I'm a prophet tomorrow, I'm a teacher today, I'm a evangelist tomorrow. But my thing is this. Check the fruit. If there is no fruit, then there is no root, and then God has not co-signed it, because anything God signs, anything God co-signs will produce in the earth realm. So check the fruit. The next time you see a title, check the fruit, baby. And if the fruit is give them their ups. Give them their props, and go ahead and celebrate them, because they're operating in what God has called them to operate.
Amen, amen, amen. What I'm going to say is that as far as, so you're saying, it's like the evangelist. The Bible declares that we to do the work of an evangelist, but we're not an evangelist. But we do the work, and we're all called to lead in some form or fashion in the various offices of the fivefold ministry. We are called to set the order of an apostle, but we may not be an apostle. We're all called to hear the voice of God and then release that, but we're not prophets and so forth. Evangelists. Mm-hmm. Pastor or lead our household. So every believer has a right. We flow in those various gifts, but in the context of the church, that's maybe a different story. You understand what I'm saying? So that's kind of like where you're going at as far as flowing in the five goals. They're talking about as far as an apostle, maybe, as we go into that apostle.
Yeah, the apostolic, and when you bring it to the level to where it's for the layman or for, you know, those who don't operate in the fivefold, the apostolic flow or the prophetic flow or the evangelistic flow or that teacher's anointing or even that shepherd's anointing, you know, that they have, that it's not that they're called to the office or they're necessarily the ministry gifts to the church, but God has graced them in that area by which where they are in their lives. Yes, we do have that. We do have people who, you know, who set order. We do have people who can lead people to Christ at a lower level, you know. But when you operate in the office of an evangelist and you're the ministry gift of an evangelist, I mean, it is untold. I mean, it is an extension of you. It's not just in the work you do. It is an extension of you. It is who you are. A ministry gift is who you are. It is not who you become. It is who you already are, and the manifestation comes forth as God allows.
Amen.
Did I say that right? Did I clarify that a little bit? Amen. I can go on a little more.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Call a friend. Tell mama, auntie, and them. Tell prophesying uncle, nephew. Tell them to get on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Tell her doc is back one more time. We have prophetess Yaquanda Payne McCall, founder of I Speak Life Ministries, also the author of A Successful Marriage, God's Way. We're going to get into the marriage part a little bit later in the broadcast. We're focusing on the prophetic, amen, right now, amen. So definitely have your notes ready, amen. So anytime you have any questions concerning the prophetic, amen, that's where we at right now, you can definitely dial in 347-945-5416 and definitely press 1 at any given time, amen. And we will rock out with you, amen. As we shift, why is prophet so weird? I mean, you know, you can see a fella or a sister in church, you know, they're a prophetess, and then them boogers won't be there next week or probably not, and they just hiding out. You know, I mean, like, no, I won't be around nobody right now. You be like, huh? We're wrong, man. I'm just God got me going through. What are you going through? You know, it's why prophets so weird. Everything is spiritualized. I mean, you know, we some weird folk, and then we say something, and then we hoping people catch the revelation. You be like, you got that? You're like, no, I don't. I didn't catch that. You know, why prophets so weird?
We are peculiar. I will say we are peculiar. Some of us at more levels than others. I know that part you're talking about, us getting away. It's in the prophet's nature to run. We run. You know, we don't like to stay anywhere too long, you know, because we have the gift to see, because we have the gift to know. And we should be very particular about who we connect to and where we are, and we guard our surroundings and we guard our atmosphere. So to some people, yes, that does look weird, but for those of us who are guarding our atmosphere, who are guarding our hearts and guarding our channels and guarding our airways between us and the Lord and our spiritual airways and our spiritual connections, yes, sometimes we can't be connected to everybody. And it may seem a bit weird, but, you know, you do have those who are extreme. Look, so, I mean, you have to ask one of them. I try to be, you know, as close to the middle as I can so that I can be effective, so that I can minister to those on both ends of the total pole. I try not to go too high to the top and too low to the bottom, but stay in a place of balance so that I'm effective for the kingdom, because the prophet that gets to be too weird gets to be shunned, if I can say it like that. And when God wants to release something through us, he brings us to people. He brings us to the level so that the people can understand. If I'm so deep and nobody's getting what God is saying, then I'm being ineffective. And so God is looking for effectiveness. So we got to be careful and bring our personality under the subjection of God and under the call and under the glory so that we don't appear to be too weird. You know, we're not going to ever fit in. I mean, I don't know many prophets that just fit in yet. You know, there are some that fit in, and God bless them, but most of the prophets that I know, they don't fit in because they're so sensitive to the Spirit. They're very sensitive to what God is saying. They're very sensitive to what people are dealing with. And, you know, being around people a lot, sometimes that can get to be overwhelming.
You know what? I went out with Apostle Zalman Bear today. We was going out to a restaurant, amen, and And I said, well, I don't want to. He said, you sure? He said, you don't want to go to this? Why you don't want to go to this restaurant? I said, well, come on, I'll go with you. He said, no, I don't want to take you. You're uncomfortable. I ain't going to take you because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. If you feel something now, we ain't gonna go in there. You don't feel right. I ain't going to go. You know, so how do a person, and then we're going to get into this later on in our questions about the callings and preparation and all of that stuff. But how does a person deal with the atmosphere? You know, when you was called as a prophetess, amen, and a prophetic, amen, and how you deal with, you know, you go to certain places, you feel certain things. You're like, God, what's going on? And you know that initial stage of trying to figure out what is going on, you know, how does a person who may be listening deal with the shifting and stuff when they go to various environments?
Well, you learn to get comfortable in your ability to discern the atmosphere and to prophetically receive what's going on in the atmosphere. You learn how to handle that in your personal time with God. You get strengthened in your time of prayer. You get strengthened in your time of being in his presence. And he gives you the fortitude to be able to maintain yourself. Even though you're sensing things, you're not responding to everything you see. And that's what happens with the prophets that I call them the untrained prophets or the prophets that need a little bit more training. They respond naturally to everything they see spiritually, and that can really cause people to flip out on us. And so we have to learn how to know but don't know, see but don't see, hear but don't hear, and how to pull the atmosphere and shape the atmosphere so that it is conducive to what God wants to do in that atmosphere. And that comes with spending a lot of time with God and allowing him to shape your atmosphere at home. If you can shape your atmosphere at home, then you shape your atmosphere at your job, and you shape your atmosphere where you're usually at, then when you go in these strange places, it won't move you to the place to where you're responding to everything that you see, hear, or know.
Amen. We have a question that just came in. This question came in, amen, Nathan on the spot. What's the difference between when you hear the voice of God and he revealed things to you about other people? That doesn't mean you are a prophet. Is it just you hearing the voice of God?
Oh, wow, yeah. That's definitely, I mean, every believer should hear the voice of God. Every believer should learn how to hear the voice of God and communicate with him. Communicate with him to talk. He's a spirit, so he speaks to your spirit. Every believer should get to the point to where they hear God spiritually. Do we all hear him the same? Do we all communicate with him the same? No, but no matter what it is, it's going to have to be spirit to spirit, because he's a spirit, and he's speaking to your spirit. And so there may be times when he speaks to your spirit and there's a manifestation in the atmosphere naturally because he's God like that, but your constant communication is going to be spirit to spirit. So, yes, you're going to hear God talk to you. He wants to use you as a conduit to the lives of the people around you. He wants to speak to you about Sister Watermelon. He wants to speak to you about Sister Strawberry and Brother Blueberry. He wants to talk to you about them because he knows that they can't hear him clear yet, but you can. So that doesn't make you a prophet. That makes you a child of God, hearing from God, and him being able to use you to go and give an encouraging word. You know, you don't have to go try to prophesy somebody's past, present, and future and try to, you know, you can just go. The greatest times that I've released a word to people has been when I've just encouraged them. When I said, you know what, this right here you're going through, this is, God got you. You know, it's been just an encouraging word. Most of the time they know where they've been, they know where they're at, and they know where they're going. They're looking for some help the whole day until they can get from where they are to where God has said. So, yes, you hear from God, but that does not make you a prophet. So I guess I'm in agreement with what you're saying. No, you're not a prophet just because you hear God speak to you about somebody else. Amen.
Amen. We all supposed to hear God speak. If you don't God speaks, you ain't none of his. He said, my sheep know my voice.
You gotta say that.
Amen. You gotta know God's voice, amen.
Come on.
Yes.
My issue, too, though.
Go ahead, woman of God.
My issue, too, is, and I just want to put a little pin there, a little sidebar, is if when you're talking to God, you hear God talk to you more about other people, I'm just really going to need you to dig a little bit deeper, because the Holy Ghost that I have, he spends most of our time together talking to me about me. So because I'm the only me that I can change.
Yes, he'll reveal things to me about other people, but I've had people, and every time they come out of prayer, they got a word for everybody else, but they like ragged it. Okay, that same God that's giving you a word for everybody else, I know he has a word for you. I know he wants to talk to you about your attitude before he talks to you about mine. So make sure that we do that self-check before we go running to other people with thus saith the Lord God.
Amen. You know, how do we balance out what we were talking about as far as when a prophet goes to, or a prophetess or prophetic people, amen, they go to individuals, amen, and then, you know, knowing, okay, you're able to see their past, their present, their future, and all of this, and how do you able the maturity of God to know how to tie it in to be able to, you know, because, you get quick, and us, the prophetic, you can get quick and real fast. And you get quick and real fast at a high velocity, and then you're able to, you know, you find yourself flowing, and you're flowing so much, you're going way back into people's stuff. You find yourself talking to folk about 2-3 hours, and you really trying to leave, and amen. You know, no situations, amen. No situations. How you can definitely grow in more wisdom in the prophetic.
Definitely understanding timing and understanding that everything that God reveals is not something for you to share. And that is the key, because when I first began to hear from God, the first time I would hear something, I would dream about something, I would know something, and I'm immediately on the phone going to their house and stuff. And the Holy Ghost had to teach me how to sit still. When he releases something to me, I sit still. And I listen to what he wants to do about what he just released into me. See, the thing about it is we've gotten into that go, 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 that popcorn prophecy, and we want to run, and we want to do it real fast, and we want to show out. But, baby, when you are hearing from God about somebody's life, the last thing you want to do is show out. You want God to show up. You want to make sure that you release them in a manner by which that they are operating according to what God said and not what you think you heard. And so we have to slow down as prophets and make sure that we understand what God is saying and take our time, because, you know, the only person that's in a hurry is the enemy, because he knows his time is limited. Time belongs to God. So if you need a minute to process what God is giving you, but prophetically, take that moment, take that minute so that you can deliver a sure word. And make sure that you can, because prophets are prophets of direction. You know, we sometimes people come to us for guidance, for direction. They want to know things. But every time I prophesy, I always make sure that I instruct the individual to go back to the God of the prophecy and verify what it is that he wants you to do. Don't ever just hold me in a place to where you're going to run off just what I said. No, make sure that you're in a relationship with him, and make sure that it resonates in your spirit, if I can say it like that. That's a little bit deeper than much. But bottom line is make sure that you are communicating with him and you're not using me as the person you go to, but you're going to him and making sure that he has an opportunity to speak to you as well.
So, okay, so you're saying a lot of people, they're coming to prophets, amen, because they don't want to get the word from themselves, they don't want to do the groundwork, they don't want to fast, they don't want to pray, they don't want to ask God, or maybe they're just, you know, intimidated what God might, you know, tell them, or they already know what God tells them, they just want to go, you know, to get an itchy ear word, or, you know, a feel-good word. How we go about it at that?
Well, one of the things that I know, Prophetess Rollinson, she said this year that God was causing the pharaohs in the church to let the people go, that they were holding people. And so one of the things that I've learned is that sometimes people get so dependent upon hearing from their leaders or from their usual prophet or from their usual person that they never get in that place where they hear from God themselves. They never get in that place where they're comfortable with what they sense God is saying themselves. And sometimes they're stuck there because they're being held there. The pastor is saying, no, you can't go. No, you're just a babe. Or, no, you need to come and check, run it by me. And they never get to that place of confidence. But we should be confident that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. He didn't perform my work in my pastor. He performed my work in me. Yes,
I need my leader. Yes, I need to learn submission. Yes, I need to be taught. Yes, I need to be accountable. But at some point in my life, I should be a leader in my area and my scope of influence and be one that can represent God in a manner by which the people around me are blessed because I hear from God and because I'm saved.
Okay. Since the Holy Spirit going there, I'm going to just go ahead with it. So we know the apostle, amen, sets the order in the fivefold ministry. I think we can all agree on that according to biblical standards. So Jesus Christ, he came as a prophet, amen. Even though we know he was the chief apostle, he came as a prophet. But watch this, he ordained apostles. He ordained apostles. So in the setting of the church, amen, the gift of the prophet, can't the prophet see in areas maybe that the apostle can't, where more of the apostle is the authority, the delegation, the building of a people, to mandating by the authority of heaven, okay, prophet, you go this place and that place, evangelist, boom, boom, pastor, boom, boom, even though I can flow in these areas, but my primary objective as the thumb is to grab a hole and make sure this is launched out into the deep things of God. How we go from the apostolic to prophet, can the prophet see on a different the velocity or dimension than the apostle, or the apostle can see overall? Is that the way that it works, as many may question?
Well, I believe that the fivefold ministry gift, I believe that each one of the gifts is important. And I believe that if the prophet is called the seer, then the prophet needs to be allowed to see. That's just my take on that. That's just according to the Bible, according to what I've read. The prophet needs to be given the opportunity and be given the chance to operate in the gifting that God has given him for ministry. We find in most churches that the fivefold ministry is not in operation. That's if you look in most churches in America, I'm not quite sure outside of America, or I won't even say most, I'll be nice. A lot of churches in America do not have the fivefold ministry in operation. The five ministry gifts, I believe, according to the word, should be operating in every church ministry or gathering of people who are representing the bride of Christ, so that the fullness of the fivefold gifting can operate and bring the wholeness and the fullness of ministry that Jesus talks about in the Word.
Amen. 347-945-5416. I'm just having so much fun, I almost forgot to tell you the number. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. All of y'all that's ganged up online via worldwide internet, amen, you can definitely call in 347-945-5416 and press 1. Talk to the prophetess, Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall. Amen. She's not going to bite you. Amen. I sense that. Amen. Amen. I Speak Life Ministries. Amen. Founder, amen, author of A Successful Marriage, God's Way, in the name of Jesus Christ. And definitely you can get in contact, drop your emails, all of that good stuff. You know how to get in contact with us for your questions if you don't want to go on the air. Amen. I don't know why y'all acting all scared. Amen. All y'all on the World Wide Web. Amen. You know, anyway, why instead of bringing, you know, I talk, this is mom, I talk to mom, amen. Why
That's
instead
right.
of bringing people in a particular office, like instead of, if I'm a leader, pastor, apostle, whatever, I'm the head of a ministry, I don't flow in the prophetic in a high dimension as I should. Now, I got prophetic people in my congregation. They need to be taught. However, I need to learn right along with them. So instead of bringing another person in, pride creeps in. So now instead of bringing somebody in that's who that's their gifting of prophetic training, instead of bringing that person in, why does leaders often metamorphosis themselves to anything that is lacking in a ministry? All of a sudden, you don't want to bring help in because you don't want to make it seem like you don't got your congregation under control. But it ain't your ministry to begin with. It's God's house. So why does what's the problem? Why we're not allowing people who gifted in the body of Christ to come in and do what thus says the Lord and train these people up to help perfect God's people?
Because I believe we have not read Ephesians 4:11, 12, and 13, so I will. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of when you really want people to be edified, when you really want people to be brought to the fullness, you will bring in the people who are equipped to equip them. When you are concerned about them growing, the church that I'm working in right now, the pastor is good. He's an overseer over many different churches and many different pastors, but he's establishing a school of ministry in his church to take it abroad, and we're creating right now curriculum so that we can empower the saints to operate not only in their ministry gifts, but in those gifts that they are called to operate in the natural realm. Because your ministry gifts can be effective in the marketplace, but you can't be speaking in tongues. You got to learn how to speak in natural language and still represent God even on the marketplace. But this pastor said, I'm going to bring you in, Dr. McCall, because I know you can do this, create our curriculum, build our school so that we can have what we need for the saints who come through here so that they can be equipped. Now, those are the pastors and leaders that God is looking for in this season, the ones who will let his people go and let them be trained and taught and edified so that they can come to the fullness of the gifting that God has already placed in them.
You know what? You said something key right there. That is exactly what the Lord is saying. And one thing I was meditating on is that Jesus had 12 disciples. I often say this to leaders as of lately, what God has allowed me to say, is that he trained up 12 disciples, ordained them to be 12 apostles over a period of 3.5 years, men who did not even have the Holy Ghost. He trained them up. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He trained them up. In 3.5 years, they received the Holy Ghost and immediately went into ministry. Why is it that you see a lot of folk feel like you got to sit for 5 years, 10 years? You got to sit in order to be trusted to go forth in ministry. Or you understand what I'm saying? Why does it seem like we don't go by the 3.5 mark set by our Lord? It's like training up of people. Because if you can't train them up in 3.5 years, maybe there's something wrong with your seed. Maybe your seed ain't right.
Wow.
Maybe you understand what I'm saying? If they're not coming out the right way, because the Bible declares that a seed reproduces after its own kind. You understand? A seed produces after its own kind. So if the reproduction ain't right, it's not the person who was absorbed of that seed. It got to be the seed's fault. So I don't know why I went there. But anyway, what's going on with that?
I believe, you know, that we are missing that principle of discerning people by the Spirit, and we are afraid to trust what we know by the Spirit. You know, we're afraid to know them that labor with us, and to know somebody doesn't take 5 years, 10 years, or however many years that we set. I believe that those leaders who are called to train and release must learn how to discern quicker where a person is and what a person needs so that they can release them into the many different areas so that the body of Christ can have them operating in the manner by which is most effective for us to grow to the fullness. But I think, like I said initially, if we're not in a place where we're knowing people by the Spirit and we're listening and trusting God to reveal them to us, then we're making people sit and conform to our standards instead of allowing them to go through the process that God has established for them. One of the things I talked about, I taught my leadership class on Sunday, one of the things that I taught them is that sometimes you have leaders who feel the need to take those who are following them through the same process that they have been through, when that is not always necessary. Just because you went through that does not mean you need to make me go through that. As a matter of fact, because I'm connected to you, that ought to give me a pass over that. Because I'm connected to you, you have conquered it, I should receive the power to conquer that and from you and go on to my next level in ministry. And so we got to learn how to see where people are and let God use us to take them where they need to be and not we ourselves, because we don't always minimize people when we're not sure of ourselves.
We have another question that just came in. It says that ministers in training, what should be a reasonable time frame for training to operate in your ministry?
Wow. I would love to give a time frame, and I would love to just say, let's just do it in this amount of time, but it still does have to do with maturity,
growth
with
and
your
development.
Ability to development, yeah, your ability to be developed, your willingness to receive, your word intake. Because you can have somebody come in, and they are in that word. As a matter of fact, there's one minister I know quit his job and got in that word for 6 months. And within 6 months, he was ready to go forth in his ministry. God provided everything he needed for him. Now, everybody can't come off their job and give that much word. So, you know, that was a six-month time, and he was hungry for what God was going to do with him, and ministry was his life. But for those of us who have jobs, ministry is an extension of our life, but we got to work from 8 to 5, you know, so we can't be trying to be deep while we clocked in on the clock. You know, they didn't pay us to pray. They paid us to do our job. So that means that we're going to have to find time before we go to work and after we go to work to get in that word. The word is what matures you quicker than anything. So I believe I can't give you a time frame, but I can say to the time that you're willing to invest in the word is the time that you'll be able to get mature just that quicker and be prepared just that quicker to go forth in the things of God.
So it's two places I feel led to go. So the young person who just coming into ministry, if they're coming into ministry, if they've been there for a given period of time, they don't feel like they're being trained up in their gift. You understand what I'm saying? They're having ministry classes. The church have ministry classes or Bible studies, but they're not being taught. Say like you got somebody who's in your congregation that has a national ministry sitting in your ministry, and God shows you, this is my Samuel. This is my Samuel. And you say, and they're coming to you about all these deep questions, and your flesh rise up. I don't know why I'm going here. And your flesh rise up and say, well, you know, you feel like you're trying to take over. You got to wait for your season. You got to wait for your turn. But really, God is raising up in such a way, and so you're attributing their growth and development, like you say, into what you've been through, into what the journey you went through. So how does a leader deal with somebody who maybe have a national anointing all over them to go forth even on a greater level than them?
Well, I will take a brief moment because I don't want to stay here long and talk about the insecurities of leaders who will not respect the call on those that are following them. But I will ask that we continue to pray for them because that's what that is. That's insecurity. When you feel the need to minimize me, and you can see what God is doing in me, that's your insecurity. But at the same time, because you're my leader for this time, until God reveals else otherwise, I'm going to respect you in this manner. Because you know what? God could be teaching me so many different things through your insecurity. One thing I know about God is one monkey. I hate to call us monkeys, but one monkey don't stop no show. And just because one person will not respect what God is calling us to do does not mean we allow them to make us shrink away from who we know God is calling us to. But the greatest, remember now, Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. So in your national ministry, boo-boo, I'm going to have to encourage you to serve in your local ministry first. Serve in your local ministry. And while you're serving in your local ministry, the national evangelist that's looking for you will find you serving and then give you the platform so that you can release that spirit of servitude into the people by which you are able to minister to. You don't let any leader cause you to shrink away from what you know God is calling you to do. Because let me tell you something, God will open a door for you. I ain't never asked anybody to let me preach. Can I preach to church? No, God will open any door he needs for me to go through. And if anybody won't call me to preach, I know how to go to the prison. I know how to go to the jail. I know how to go to the streets. I know how to go to my next door neighbor, wherever I need to go to take the gospel. And that's what God is looking for in those who are called to national ministry. What are you doing locally? And don't worry about who's denying you, because if you have the acceptance of Christ, you don't need to worry about the denial of men.
Oof. Hallelujah. My God, we could park there all night. What is the difference between training, the stages of training in preparation for prophets?
Wow, there are many stages. We do at the Global Institute of Marketplace Prophets.
Amen.
The Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets. We have what we call the making of a prophet, and I do the breaking of a prophet. I believe I talk about submission, and I'm the breaking of the prophet. But when you're going through the process, there are many different areas and levels by which God operates in bringing us, because it does have to do with you individually. Nobody just goes through this the same way, the same manner, because each one of us has a different measure of gifting. Each one of us have a different personality. Each one of us has a different group of people we are called to. So the person that is called to the hood ministry, if I can say it like that, it's not really called hood ministry, but the person that's called the hood ministry, you can't be all gentle. Oh, praise the Lord. You got to go in there with the strength. You got to go in there with the confidence. You have to go in there with the love. And when you go in, before you have gone in, God would have prepared you for the ministry wherewith you are called. That's why it's important that you know what God has called you to do, so that you can get the training that you need. And I talk about it when I talk about the making of the breaking or whichever portion I talk about submission. I talk about Elijah and Elisha. You have to find, you have to allow God to reveal your mentor to you. You need a mentor. Every prophet needs a mentor. You need somebody that can show you, that can do the 16 and you do the 32. And the mentor need to be in a mindset by which they are not mad because the mentee goes greater than them. Let me tell you something. I told my children, if I go around the world once, you are commanded to go around twice. You are always commanded. Everybody I train them to go beyond me. Make me your starting point. Make whatever I've done in the kingdom your starting point, and you go further and higher than I've ever been. And those are the type of mentors that we need in the body now, those who are willing to take what it, to do what it do, and take what it, and do what it takes, so that the mentees can go further than where we've ever been.
Sheesh. All right. 347-945-5416. Amen. Lines on fire. Online is on fire. Amen. We're rocking out. Amen. EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We have Dr. Prophetess Yaquanda Payne McCall in the building. We're talking about prophetic tonight, amen. If you have any questions, if you're sitting there, you feeling all weird, you wonder why you're going to sanctuary, you're feeling a certain type of way, you're getting all kind of dreams and visions and all of that stuff, don't you sit up here online, amen, World Wide Web, and hold that stuff to yourself. You need to call in, amen, and talk to the woman of God, amen, and ask your question, amen, 347-945-5416. Also, the ones who are on the landline, cell phones, iPads, plugged into your desktops, amen. You have any prophetic questions, you need to call in. This woman of God, amen, has been birthed out, set aside for such a time as this, amen. Amen. She definitely births out prophets, amen. She definitely, amen, labors with prophetess Dewan Holmes Rollison, amen, and the man of God, Bishop Harold Rollison, amen. Definitely shout out to them down there in Florida, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. We was talking about the training, the preparation of prophets. Now, we know the stage of preparation involves, this is where you have friends with you, amen. You know, the preparation, you know, because God has, you know, he showed me that when I call you, I purchase you with a price. You are bought with a price, so I'm calling you. When I prepare you, I'm seasoning you up. So now you got, you still got your friends with you. You know, the friends that think, well, you know, you got, you saved, God to prepare. God prepared me too. So, you know, you still got the friends with you. But then another shift happens called the training, and that's when all, just like when everything break loose. You know, the training, when you go through the training, you're looking at folks who you connected, who you once was connected to. You're looking at them boogers real funny now. Like, hold up. You need to line up here. Well, what's going on with this? Well, you know, I can't go with you today. So how you handle the calling, the preparation, and the training? If you could just expound a little bit more on that. And I know we're winding down, amen. But as far as the preparation and the training, amen, the training of the prophet, amen, in this hour.
Well, the mentoring process is very important. As I said, God will use everything that you've been through to mold you and shape you into the person that the prophet or the person that he is using. So even the things that you suffered through, God can use those to sculpt your life and to cause you to to come forth as the way that he has ordained for you to come forth. Now, your servitude is going to be very important because the level of your servitude is going to equate to the quality of your ability to be mentored. So if you're not willing to serve, if you're not willing to even take what God pours into you through a mentor as a mentee, and then you shift into the position of a mentor, because a lot of times what happens is we get mentored and we are the mentee, and we never come into the mindset of being a mentor so that we never get the reproduction. But one of the things that we have to understand is that when God is preparing you, he is preparing you to teach. God works through generations. So anything that God is doing through you, he is preparing for you to release to the next generation, not for you to hold and perfect and keep and act as though it is your own, but it is being lent to you. God is allowing you to borrow it just so that you can release it to the next generation. So God is looking for servants who can look into other people and say, but I see an Elisha anointing in you. I see a double portion in you. I know you're struggling with what you're struggling with now, but I have eyes to see. I'm a seer. I see life in you, and I'm willing to labor with you. That preparation generally includes somebody who will sharpen you, somebody who will cut you, somebody who is there to lay hands and heal and encourage. I mean, there are so many different aspects of the preparation, the mentoring, which is the joy season when you're going through pain, when things are good, and when it seems like everything's going wrong. All of these seasons that come through in the life of a prophet are going to be used to shape and mold you, to produce you in the power of the grace and the favor and the precision of the release of God.
My God, my God, my God. Well, we're going to shift to our last phase of this, amen, this prophetic, amen, demonstration of the prophet mantle, amen, on the mantle of God empowerment program, amen. You got a book out called The Keys for Successful Marriage, God's Way.
Five
Tell
minutes.
Us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book was birthed out of many years of being married to my wonderful, awesome, amazing husband. We've been married 15 years. Next month will be our 15-year anniversary, so I thank God for that, man. I love him. He is my everything next to God. But one of the things that we found throughout our own marriage is that you gotta have a vision. You got to believe in prosperity, I mean, across the board. Your marriage should be prosperous. Your business should be prosperous. Your children should be prosperous. Whatsoever you do shall prosper according to the word of God when you follow the oracles that God has set for you to follow. So, I mean, we've got revealing the best you, understanding marriage, success, love. We talk about friendship. We talk about sexual love in the book. We talk about meeting your spouse's needs, dealing with negative conflict, dealing with anger, forgiveness. I mean, communication, commitment. We talk about every aspect of your marriage. And the men simply love the chapter on sexual love because for them that is a need. And so I train wives how to minister to their husband in that area. So the book has been doing really good, and people are being blessed, and I'm just thankful to God that he would use me. When my marriage sometimes been so jacked up, I've been looking at God saying, did you really mean to put me and this man together? But God in his faithfulness said, yes, I do, because you need him and he needs you. And I need both of y'all right now to line up and do what I called you to do. So it's not going to always be cherries, but it's going to always be what God wants it to be when we follow hard after him.
So let me ask you something. How is important, as we talk a little bit about your book, Successful Marriage, God's Ways, amen. How important is it for the woman of God? We know the Bible declares that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So they're using a word that you often use, boo-boo. Boo-boo got to be good first. Boo-boo got to be good first, amen, for the man. She has to be good. So explain just about the goodness of how that woman has to be in order to be chosen by that man.
Well, most men, you know, have an idea of what they want in a woman. They know they want her to be
a certain way, whether they want her to be quiet, they want her to be meek. Most men want her to be humble. Some men don't mind a woman that's a show-off. You know, most of them know what it is that they desire in a woman. So each man's definition of good is going to be according to his preference. But the greatest good is going to be the fact that she's in Christ. Because a woman in Christ will be able to deal with all of the different things that a man will bring to the table. You, as a wife, you got to be able to protect your man through prayer. You got to be able to speak life into him. You got to be able to see his weaknesses and still say, I don't care about your struggles. I know that you're a man of God. I don't care about this thing you're dealing with right now. I know that that does not define you. God defines you. He called you. He has equipped you. You got to be able to have strength, and you have to believe in the man of God that you are married to. You have to. One of the things that God taught me is if you're going to have faith, if you're going to be married, you have to have faith, because you're going to see things about your spouse that nobody else sees. And just because you see your spouse mess up, or just because you see your spouse fall short, somebody has to have the faith to say your fall short does not negate what God has called you to do. So, yes, your good is definitely going to have to be in Christ. If she's in Christ, then everything else you can kind of shape and mold. You know, I don't think we should try to marry anybody and change them, because personality-wise, you know, we are that we are. But we should look for someone that's compatible, and definitely someone that's in Christ.
My last question, amen, because I know this marriage, we can go in on this, the book, amen, and I think when we come and have you back next time, we're going to have marriage night, amen, and help the sisters out, amen. I know the sisters are jam-packed up on this thing tonight, amen. How important is communication to the marriage, amen?
Ooh, communication is vital in marriage. I mean, the research that I did on communication was just, it was so extensive. It took me, writing that chapter took me a very long time, because women and men communicate totally different. I mean, the things that we say, we can say the same thing, but mean something totally different. And so we have to learn the communication or the communication method of our spouse. We have to learn how to, you know, when my husband says certain things, I know exactly what he means. Well, I've studied him. I've watched him. I've paid attention to him. My husband can mention something, and you know what? He don't even have to ask for it. He can just mention it, and the next time he comes back, it's there. You know, because he may not say, I need this, but I know how he communicates. He communicates when something is missing or something is going on. He says it. So then I need to be on my P's and Q's, paying attention to what he's saying, how he's communicating me, and then do my job as a wife to make it happen. The same thing is with him. He knows when I'm saying something, okay, I know what that means. Okay, let's do this. So we have to learn the communication method of our spouse so that we can effectively respond according to what they are sharing with us.
Amen, amen. Well, we definitely bless you, woman of God, amen, and give out your information for everybody, and also final word, amen. Do final word. I'll tell you what, we can do final word. You give out your information first, and then we're going to give you a break, amen, because I know we had you talking, amen, and building, amen, for a while, amen. I know you're used to it, amen, because you're preaching, amen, by the Holy Spirit, amen. I know you go in, amen. Just give out your information, amen, where people can get your book, get all that good stuff, amen,
okay.
and just how they can book you, amen. I don't like to use that word, but everybody else using amen. How they can ask you. I want to be Paul, amen. Amen, how they can get you in any churches.
My website is www.success.com. Again, that's ISPEAK success, SUCCESS.com. That's where you can order my book. If you desire to contact me, then you would contact me through ispeaklife@ispeaklifetoyou, which is the number 2 and the letter u.com. Again, ispeaklife@ispeaklifetoyou. That's the number 2 and the letter u. .com, and that's my email address, and you can contact me, and you can always find me on Facebook at Yaquanda Pay McCall, and definitely you can get at me on Facebook at any time.
Amen. Amen. Definitely you want to get this woman of God in your church, amen. Let her teach your women, amen. If you got problems, all my ministers, all my pastors, apostles, if your sisters out of order in your congregation, you got cliques all over the place, amen. Let the prophetess come there. Let the Spirit of the Lord use her, amen. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost come there and do some spring cleaning, amen, so you can get right for the summertime, amen. Amen. So definitely get this woman of God in there and let the Holy Spirit birth out some things in your ministry, amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Also, I want to give definitely a shout-out, amen, to Minister Russell, all the saints up there in Spartanburg, amen. We're definitely going to be shooting that Freedom video very soon, hopefully in the next month. We're trying to get that song done and finished and wrapped up. We're going to shoot that video, amen. And also we got the I Know Mom Going to Like This, amen. We're going to have the Noah Ark Music, amen, video coming up soon, amen. We're working to get that video done, amen.
Yes.
So definitely be on the lookout for that, amen, the Noah Ark Music, amen. We got part one and two, but we're going to do part one. I'll think about part two. Amen. So all my sisters, amen, out there, all my brothers out there who love the song, thank you for your support. Amen. And we definitely appreciate you. Like I said, next Monday night, amen, we're going to have Apostles Timothy, Roberta Cutright, Chainbreakers International will definitely be in the building. We're going to ask the hard-hitting questions about this couple who's down there in Georgia. They are walking in the oneness of an apostleship, amen, the oneness of apostleship. So we're going to ask the hard-hitting questions, amen, being led by the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to ask the man of God and the woman of God how they do it, why did God give you the charge, how, and all the questions, amen. We like controversy, amen. This is the mantle of God. You know everybody got an empowerment program on Monday nights now, amen. But we thank God. We ain't hating, amen. We thank God that we're able to be trailblazers in this season, amen. So we thank God, amen. Shout out to Prophet Deshaun Smith and Prophetess Michelle, amen. They got a program, I believe, is going on right now, amen, or a conference line going on. You need to go to social media sites. Prophet Deshaun and Michelle Smith, awesome man, woman of God. Definitely check them out. Amen. Where are you going to be at, Doc? I know you got a lot of things on your calendar coming up. Where people can fellowship with you at? Where you at right now, bringing forth the word?
Well, right now I'm serving and establishing a school of ministry at the Life Church International under Overseer Gregory L. James. I'm operating in ministry leadership over at Truth Gatherers Community Church. My pastor is Joseph Davis, and I'm going to be preaching in Perry. I'm getting ready to have my CD release next month and just have a lot going on. So I solicit the prayers of the saints that you pray my strength and I be effective. I never just want to be busy. I want to be effective, maximizing and advancing the kingdom of God in the earth realm. So.
Well, you got to give us a copy of your CD, Mom, so we can definitely blast that off, amen.
Yes.
We ain't scared, amen. We love you here, amen. You and the man of God, Minister, amen, McCall. We love y'all, amen.
Yeah.
You send us the CD, amen. We'll be bumping that to the resurrection, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We ain't scared, amen. We'll do a Holy Ghost Friday, amen, for couples, amen, and definitely invite everybody on, amen. So, praise God.
It is a love CD. So it is.
Amen. Fred Hammond can do
it. Everybody that has heard
it,
love it. Yes. Everybody that has heard it has loved it. So I'm just thankful to be favored by God. Who knew? Just him. Only God. That's why I encourage you, whatever you're doing, go forward in your dreams. Don't let nothing stop you from doing what you know you have the desire and the dream to do. God will help you birth it. He will. I'm a living witness. He will. Don't give up. I encourage you. Do not give up.
Amen. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Providence Latanya Smith. Amen. Shout-out to them. Pamela Hutchinson. Amen. Shout-out to all the people who in the beginning started out with this broadcast, The Mantle of God. These are people, amen, who helped labor, I mean, brought forth words on this prophetic words. Amen. Even to where we are operating right now, I bless all of them. Amen. The various apostles, prophets. Amen. We're definitely booked up for almost the next 2 months on this broadcast. We give honor and glory to God for just allowing us, amen, and just giving us favor, amen. I thank Pastor Nathan Hill, a man of God that I'm yoked to, amen, that I labor with, amen, in this EMG radio sponsored by Nathan on the Spot, amen, for believing, amen, believing in the vision, amen, and I thank God, amen. Also thank God for Mom, amen, for taking time out of busy schedule. Shout out Minister McCall, amen. We thank God for you, amen. We're going to get ready to get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Mom, you can go ahead and do the outro, amen, the prayer, the our prayer.
Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything, God, that has been released on this line, God, and even into the atmosphere of the lives of the people who are listening, God. We just declare and decree that their atmosphere will be charged with revelation, oh, God, that you will communicate with them, oh, God, and that they will listen and they will respond accordingly to everything that you release into their lives, God. We speak life now, God, to every dead dream, every dead area, every dead marriage, every dead situation. We speak life to your word, oh, God, that they will live and not die and declare the works of the Most High God. We come in agreement today, God. We are in agreement with heaven on tonight, God, that your word will prevail every perversion that tries to keep us from producing purpose like never before, oh God. We honor you. We thank you, God, for giving us a hunger and a thirst for more of you, for we are hungry for you, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that we're willing to do what it takes, oh God, to be closer to you, to do what you called us to do. We are ready. You can send us, God. We will go. We will do what you asked us to do. We will say what you asked us to say, and we will be who you have already commanded us to be. We are in agreement with heaven on tonight, and right now I lift up the man of God. I thank you for what you're doing through his life. I thank you for the greatness. I thank you for the nations that will never be the same because of the vision that you have given him. We are in agreement that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and he will go forward in the name of Jesus, oh God. And so we lift up every listener, and we declare that this is not just your time, but it's your turn. Go forth and do what God has called you to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This has been another EMG Radio sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. Amen. We are going to be out of here. Amen. Be back here. Amen. On Sunday, we're going to have Deacon Brown in the building from Florida. All my Florida heads, definitely be back here on Sunday. We're going to go. We out of here. See you next Monday. Amen. Also for the apostles, where we do it best, the mantle of God. Let's go.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, In God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts. It's your boy, Minister Stevie T. And hey, at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time, I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
What's wrong with
EMG?
What done got into it? What's wrong with Black?
Blessed, we the blessed, that's true. Since we the blessed, then you the blessed too. We be the blessed, we the blessed, that's true. Since we the blessed, then you the blessed too.